How you are? You don't doing all right? What's God done for you this week? You say, wait a minute, preacher, it ain't Wednesday night. That's all right. What's God done for you this week? You did, wait a minute, Pat. You did what?
I said he got me through the week.
He got you through the week.
Amen.
All right. Somebody else, what's God done for you this week?
He's got us through the week. He's keeping us going, and he won't let us down. And just every day is a miracle. Every day.
Every day is a miracle. All right. Somebody else, what God done for you this week? Come on. Tell me what God's been doing for you this week. Give me who?
He has given me more good days this week.
All right.
I go very slow, but I still go.
You go slow, but you go. All right. That's all right. Somebody else, what's God done for you this week? That's it? Well then, it sounds to me like that song we sang a while ago, the one where you said, tell it to Jesus, we ought to be talking about that a little bit. What you got picked up, brother?
I love to tell the story.
Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we do it? It's not on the screen because the screen people didn't know anything about it. Want to stand up because they're going to get tired of sitting by and by. Sounds to me like y'all ought to be all of you up here in the choir on Sunday morning.
Right. Yeah,
sound good. So, When you start telling it to Jesus, when you get to that place where there doesn't seem to be anything left but prayer, how do you pray? Hard. Okay? When we last left Jonah, God had said, go, and Jonah had said, no. And because of that, Jonah had lost his purpose. He'd lost whatever little joy he had in life, and he'd found himself in the midst of a major storm. It was so bad that sailors had finally given in to his idea and thrown him into the sea. And the scripture tells us that when they threw him in the sea, that the storm ceased. Now, it's pretty well a sure thing that the sailors were convinced that they had thrown Jonah to his death that day. And the reality is Jonah had no reason to believe anything different than that either. Then we read in verse 17 of chapter 1, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Here we go with the big fish story. Only, more than being a fish story, this is a story of God's grace. You see, this fish story is a story about a miracle, and it's a story about a miracle of God's grace. It's a story of God giving Jonah what he did not deserve. It's a story of a divine rescue. And Jonah didn't deserve rescuing. Jonah expected death. He knew that the wages of sin was death. He knew that that disobedience to God meant death. And he knew that when he was convincing the men to throw him into the sea, that was certainly going to mean certain death. He expected to die. He deserved to die. And the justice of God demanded that he die. And then there was a miracle rescue. And a great fish swallows him up. And he finds himself, instead of drowning, he finds himself living inside of a big fish. Now, the debate about this has raged ever since. Was it really a fish? What kind of fish was it? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus said, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The King James Version says, "For as just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale." The Greek that is translated whale or fish there equally translates both ways. Could a whale swallow a man up? Ronnie, go back to the first slide for just a minute. The creature that we see there is thought to be the largest mammal on planet Earth today. That's called a sperm whale. Now, I won't bore you with all of the statistical data about a sperm whale. But just to answer the question, could they swallow a man? an average size sperm whale, not the big guys, an average size sperm whale is likely to have a mouth that front to back is 20 feet long. And that mouth from top to bottom, you know, from the bottom inside of his mouth up to the roof of his mouth where you can slap your tongue around, is likely to be at least 15 feet high. And side to side, from one set of chompers to the next, about 15 or 9 feet, about 9 feet. So I ask you, can a sperm whale physically swallow a man whole? Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. He can do that. Now, regardless of what kind of fish God used to swallow Jonah up, we need to see that it was a miracle. And if you have difficulty accepting the miracle of the great fish, then you probably will have difficulty with a lot of other miracles in the Bible. You probably have trouble with the miracle of the Red Sea parting and a couple of million or so Israelites going across on dry land and then all of Pharaoh's army and all of their horses being drowned in that same water that comes back rushing into the sea. You probably would have trouble with the miracle of God providing a pillar of fire at nighttime and a cloud of smoke in the middle of the day so that the wandering Jews would be able to follow him through the wilderness and they would know that he is with them. You would probably have a whole lot of problem with Moses tapping his rod on the side of a rock and getting enough water out of that rock to quench the thirst of God's people. You would definitely have a problem with a virgin conceiving a child within her womb and it growing and giving birth to that child. I want to remind you that when we first talked about Jonah and the big fish, I told you that the greatest reason to believe this miracle, the greatest reason to believe that the biblical account of Jonah is accurate is the fact that Jesus stated it as fact. And I just read that to you out of Matthew. Jesus believed it was fact. Now, as we examine Joseph's situation tonight, as we think about how do you pray when you don't know how to pray, there are three basic principles I want us to get. The first one is, sometimes a crisis is exactly what we need to get us to pray. I don't know what it is about prayer, folks. But if you ask a room full of 100 or so believers, what area of Christian life do they struggle the most with? The vast majority will say their prayer life. We don't pray as frequently as we should. We don't pray as submissively as we should. We don't pray as lovingly as we should. We just have trouble with prayer life. But in a time of crisis, it gets real good. You ever notice that? Notice how much your prayer, how much better your prayer life gets when you're in the middle of a crisis, when your child is hurting, When your loved one is dying, when the world is falling apart and crashing down on you, when the clouds are darker than you've ever seen, our prayer life tends to get so much better. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish." Now he prays. Remember, we couldn't find any evidence at all of Jonah praying while he was still on that ship. No matter how bad the storm got, we could not find any evidence of him praying. We could not find any evidence of him praying when he was willing to die instead of do what God wanted him to do. But now, locked up in the belly of a fish, it says Jonah prayed. I wonder. Now the Bible says he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I can't help but wonder how long he was inside the belly of that fish before he realized, "I'm not dying." I'm still alive. There's air enough in here for me to breathe and fill my lungs. It's not the sweetest smelling air I've ever had, but there's air enough in here. And though in a sperm whale the inside body temperature is about 104 degrees, it wasn't so hot that he couldn't live. It wasn't unbearable heat. A lot of humidity, probably. I wonder how long he was inside that whale's belly before it dawned on him, "He's not going to let me die." I can't die. I'm living. I was sure I was going to die. Wonder how long it was before Jonah thought, "This fish just might be a sign of deliverance instead of a sign of destruction in my life." Wonder how long it was before Jonah came to the place when he said to himself, "God still has a plan." Even now, God has a plan. R.T. Kendall said one time, "The belly of a fish is not a happy place to live, but it's a good place to learn." You know, Randy, you can do an awful lot of soul searching locked up in the belly of a big fish. You have a lot of time to think about life when you're sitting inside the belly of a whale. It did not seem to bother Jonah that he was separated from God while he was intentionally running away from God. But now, when the only thing is God or death, it seems to begin to bother him that he's separated from God. And he cries out to his God. Notice not only when he prayed, but who he prayed to. Then Jonah prayed to his God. You know, even in disobedience, Jonah realized and Jonah remembered and Jonah knew that God was still his God. And much like David, when David penned the words to the 23rd Psalm and he began, "The Lord is my shepherd," everything that David said following that was based on the fact that the Lord was his own personal shepherd. And as Jonah prayed, everything that he said and everything that he prayed was based on the fact that God was his God. I may be disobedient and a relationship is fractured and broken, but he is my God. So Jonah prayed to his God. We must always be able to pray to our God and know that he is God. The second principle that we find here is that God can hear prayers from anywhere. Where can I go that thou art not there, the psalmist said. God can hear our prayers from anywhere. Verse 2 says, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice." Another interesting fact to me is that the sperm whale, as far as we know at this point, is the deepest diving whale or fish in the ocean. Even though it's a mammal and it breathes air, it dives to thousands of feet. And can stay underwater, I think I read somewhere 40 to 50 minutes before it needs to come up for air. And so from the depths of the ocean, in the confines of the belly of a whale, Jonah cries out in his distress, and God heard his voice. If you found yourself in the belly of a whale, and you knew that God had put you there for a purpose, what would you say? Psst. Hey, God. Pardon me. Could use a little help over here? Or, hey, God, help me! I think it would be the latter for me. Jonah was in a very secluded spot. And it's probably very safe to say that at this point in time, God had his undivided attention. So what do you pray when you don't know what to pray? You may not realize it yet, or you may, and we will look at it, but Jonah prayed back to God the very word of God. 8 times in his prayer, he quoted from the Psalms. Jonah is standing on Scripture in the tough times in his life. And I want to remind you that we can stand on Scripture too. When you're lonely, we can pray, Lord, you have said in your word that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Or when you are afraid, you can pray, Lord, you have assured me that I don't ever need to be afraid. You have told me that perfect love casts out all fear. And when you are in need, you can pray, Lord, you said that you would meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Or when you need forgiveness, you can pray, Lord, you have said that if I would confess my sins, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sins. But before you can pray back the word of God, you have to know what it says. You have to hide it in your heart. Whatever our need is, God has a promise for us. And as we briefly look at Jonah's prayer, we can divide it into three parts. We can divide it up, first off, into thanksgiving. Verses 2 through 6 saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You brought me up. You rescued me. You saved me. Now, I want you to understand, Jonah was not thankful that God had delivered him from the belly of the fish, because that hadn't happened yet. Jonah was not even thankful that God was going to deliver him from the belly of the fish, because he didn't know that's what God was going to do. If I found myself sitting in the belly of a whale because of my disobedience to God, I would not be thinking the next thing that's going to happen is God's going to set me free. That wouldn't be on my mind. But he was thankful that God had turned him away from his rebellion back to God himself, had caused him to call upon the name of the Lord God again. You know, folks, when people are rebelling and turned away from God, one of the greatest things that happens in their lives is when God finally deals with them strong enough that it causes them to turn back to God and call on his name, call on his grace, call on his mercy. And when we call upon him, he hears and he responds. Not only was there thanksgiving in that prayer, but there was contrition. When my life was fainting away, I remembered, Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. When I read those verses there, I'm always reminded of the prodigal son who squandered his living, turned away from his father, lived a great sinful life, and finally came to the place of brokenness where he called out, where he returned to his father. Lord, And listen to how Jonah says it. I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer came to you in your holy temple. You didn't shut me out. Those that pay homage to empty idols forsake their hope of love. But I've got that hope because I prayed to you and you heard me. Jonah was acknowledging God and he was owning up to his own sin. He was accepting responsibility. And we see him committing or rededicating his life in these verses as we look at verse 9. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pray. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I have committed to you, Lord, and I will live that commitment. Now, the final principle that I want us to glean here, and we talked about this before in this study, is that there is a cost to disobedience in the life of a believer. When I'm disobedient to the Word of God, when I am disobedient to the Spirit of God, or to the wooing, the calling of God, when I am disobedient, there is always a cost. And it's not pretty. Verse 10 says, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up upon the dry land. Now, men and women, I want you to know that no matter how far away from God we may get, there's always a way back. There's always a way back. But there's always a cost involved as well. You see, that way back just quite likely won't be very pretty. Jonah had been thrown overboard in a raging storm. The absolute unimaginable had happened. God had provided rescue in the form of a big mouth fish that came and swallowed him up whole. And he had the absolute marvelous opportunity to sit around in the belly of that fish for 3 days. And sleep in Hotel Shamu for 3 nights. As God was preparing his heart for that journey back, and maybe the prettiest part of all of it was God spoke to the fish and said, he's made you sick to the stomach, hasn't he? Throw him up over there on the beach. And it wasn't pretty. But he was on his way back. There is a cost to disobedience. But because of grace, there is a way back. And for you and me, that way back is through Jesus Christ. It begins with salvation. When I come to the place of realizing my need, my utter hopelessness without Him. And it goes on through that journey of life between the cross and the grave. As I get bullheaded from time to time, and God says, go right, and I go left. And you may never have done that, but I have. But by His grace, He's always provided a way back. And He gives us opportunity. He calls out to us. He puts us in places and situations that will cause us to call out to the Lord our God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that He loves you enough. He loves you too much to allow you to remain in your disobedience. And He'll provide a way back, but there's a cost you're going to pay on the journey. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for this lesson tonight. God, would You, by the sweet presence and power of the Holy Spirit, speak truth into each heart and give each one that which You need them to have, that which they need to have tonight from this lesson. And I will praise You in the matchless name of King Jesus. Amen. Can you hear Jonah in your mind saying, God, I need You. I need You.